If you'd like to read along with me, we'll be reading from Mark, the 16th chapter, and verses 14 through 16. Mark 16, 14 through 16. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat together, and he upbraided them for with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was arisen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned.
Many of us have read about famous people and their last words. Sometimes these last words sound funny to us, and sometimes they help us to see how the person saw their lives. But last words have power to the hearers. Some lives have been changed because of the last words they heard from someone that they've loved. The last words of one of the thieves on the cross was to Jesus, and it was recorded in Luke 23:42. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. The last words of Stephen in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60 was, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. The last words of the Bible is Amen. Revelation 22, verse 21. It was not the last words of Jesus, but some of the last words that were recorded by the writers of the account of Jesus. Listen to the ending of the Gospels and let us hear the connection that they have. And we'll start with Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20. Here Matthew recorded, And Jesus came to them and said to them, All authority has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said to them, Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And then Luke 24, verses 45 and 48. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, Thus it is written, that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. We find here the connection is not difficult to bring together. The last push from Jesus to his disciples was to go and share the message of salvation. Each of these writers used different words, or they centered on a different time at the end of his ministry. But each of them leave us with the idea that Jesus was sending them into the world for the purpose of sharing the greatest truth that has ever been told. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record Jesus telling the disciples to go. Go not just to the land of Israel, not just to the Jewish people, but into all the world. And that word go is a command. It is a command directed to those original disciples. But it was written down by others because go is a command given as much to us. as it was to them. Now, I don't expect any of us tomorrow to go to the post office and get an application for a passport and get that passport done and then go buy a ticket and go travel around the world to share the gospel. But it was written for us to see the urgency of the message and to let that urgency drive us to open our mouths in love. Go and tell, when it was said by Jesus, was all inclusive. When the demon-possessed man was cured by Jesus in Mark chapter 5 and verse 18, this man wanted to leave his people and follow Jesus. But Jesus told him in verse 19 to go home. Go and tell your friends what was done for him. Sometimes the most difficult people to go to is the ones that we are close to. How we speak is just as important as what we speak. When we are openly offensive, when we use the Bible as a sledgehammer to condemn more than sharing the words of salvation, we are not going to be heard well by anyone. Sharing Jesus with those we love or those that we have a good relationship with is difficult. Now, sometimes we leave the impression that we are saying to them, I'm saved and you are not. So how can we go and tell without being condescending? One way is to share what Jesus has done in our life. I don't like using the word testimony. To me, sometimes it has a different connotation. But for those who are close to us, those who know who we are, we can share with them because they can see a change within us. And that change is why they're asking the question we should share, how we changed and why. Paul used this approach many times. In fact, on three occasions, Paul spoke that he was the worst sinner in the world. But before we can share what Christ has done for us, we need to be sure that that change is real. They see through us. If we are around them a lot and we are still doing and acting like we always have, they're going to see it. And no matter what we say, no matter the message we deliver, they will dismiss it. When Matthew wrote the final words of Jesus that he recorded, he closes not with the ascension of Jesus, but with the commission of Jesus. And in this great commission, Jesus says to make disciples of all nations. It is important that we start here. We live in an area where there are many denominations, many good people who truly believe what they believe. We live at a time when Jesus is well known, but not followed very well. We often think that our job is to convince someone of their theological failure. and our theological correctness. There are theological failures that need to be corrected in the Christian world. That is true. That'll never change. But are we really missing the idea of making disciples? We cannot make disciples of Christ if we will not first be disciples of Christ. Forget for just a moment about the name of this congregation and ask ourselves, what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? Being a disciple of Christ is one that follows Christ in every aspect possible. Jesus becomes, as disciples, the center of our life. From Him we radiate out. Jesus doesn't radiate out from us, we radiate out from Him. The way we make decisions, the way we manage our finances, the way that we view people, the way that we speak to people. See, Jesus lives in His disciples. And that type of connection happens as a relationship deepens. I hope when we all leave here, if we go out in public and we're eating out in public, that those sitting around us will see us asking a blessing on the food. You know, sometimes we think, well, I just don't want to show off. We sometimes just start digging in. That's not being the disciple that God wants us to be, that Christ wants us to be. If Christ is centered, then we always ask for the blessings that we receive, whether it is food that we buy in a restaurant or even within our own homes. It shows others who we are. In the passages that we read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see Jesus teaching that the beginning of a disciple is the death of self. Burial connects with baptism. And we don't bury living people. Jesus connects baptism and the gospel many times. And why do we as disciples teach baptism? Because baptism is the time when we proclaim publicly that we are no longer masters over ourselves. We die to self. We are buried with Christ. And we are raised in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are no longer simply us, but we are a child of a living God who loves us and who has died for us. We are saved by His grace. We are sanctified in the blood, and we walk in the newness of life. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Yes, we've been born again, just as Jesus was trying to get across to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You're born from above. Born to live a different life from the one that we have been living. Being a disciple means that a disciple is so connected to Jesus that as a branch, We cannot bear fruit unless we remain connected to the vine. As disciples, we abide in Christ for our nourishment. The disciple wants to continue to keep learning from the Master. And Jesus taught his disciples everything. He wanted his disciples to teach everything that he commanded. Yes, there are commands. And yes, there are rights and wrongs. And we seek to live by the commands of the Master. And yes, if we are honest with ourselves, we know we fail. But as Christians, we get a bonus in this life. Because even though we fail, even though we do not measure up to our Savior in many ways, our Master lifts us up in our repentance. And all we have to do is keep turning to Him. It is a calling to tell others what Christ has done for us. And we need to let the world see us as Christians, true Christians. We need to let them see us. See what one looks like. See what one talks like and acts like. It is time for all of us to be the sent ones that Jesus called us to be and to take His message of love told in which we live. We hold up our missionaries in a very wonderful way and the work that they do. And a lot of your hard-earned money that you graciously give to this congregation goes to support their work. But you see, it doesn't cost us a single dime to reach out into our neighborhoods and to our families and our friends. Not a single dime. It only takes a little bit of effort and allow them to see the light that shines in you that only came from Jesus Christ. Think what it would mean if each of us saved one soul today through the message in our life. And each succeeding day, they did the same thing. Where would we be? Where would the Lord's church be this day? If you are here today and you have not died to self, but if you have not been immersed, if you have not been buried with Christ and come to life as a disciple, the time to do that is this moment, today. Vicki has this one CD she plays, and it gets to me when she likes to play it over and over, so I find myself when we're in the car, I keep hitting the thing to get that track back on that CD, on that song that is getting. And asking a prayer with God for just today. Not praying for the week to come, not praying for the new year, but praying for just today. Just today. That through our actions, through the way we talk, the way we listen, in every aspect of our life, each and every moment, each of our every making moment, we are worshiping God through our actions. It's why the message today is urgent for you and for this invitation. Do it today. Don't wait. Because as we can only ask God for help in this day that we are in right now, tomorrow will not be here. And if you are a disciple and you have not been living as a disciple, it's time to live like one today. As the song says, I am resolved no longer to linger. And the invitation is now offered to all. I pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.